5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Level up, 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 level up. All the songs. Hello, you're listening to Level Up with Danny. I'm your host, Danny Stockham. It's episode 11. Today is March 6th, 2025. It's the beginning of March. Here in California, March came in like a lion. She was angry and chilly and windy and not at all like a lamb, which is what I would have preferred. But maybe that means we're going to have a beautiful spring. I don't know. I choose to interpret it that way. I was sick all day yesterday, coughing and carrying on. And I was like, I've got to get better. I'm going to be on the air tomorrow. I can't be coughing. As my husband said, it doesn't sound good if you cough on the radio. Thank you. Brilliant. So I treated myself yesterday and I treated myself today. And here I am. Okay. First of all, I want to thank everyone who listened to my last episode and provided such great feedback on the show. I'm so appreciative. Two things that really stood out for me. The three great loves portion seemed to allow listeners to think about their personal three great loves. And that's one of the goals of my show, is to open us up to thinking about things that maybe we haven't thought about before in this way. And the second standout is how supported I felt around my tears. I tried to explain in a social media post follow-up that I think the thing about the tears that surprised me and eventually made me want to publicly apologize for them was the fact that I didn't think that reading that chapter from my book and retelling the story was going to be so emotional for me. So obviously I cried, but the tears were more couched in surprise and less in embarrassment, if that makes any sense. I mean, I wasn't embarrassed that I cried or even apologetic about it. I was just, I guess, kind of surprised, since it's a story that I've lived for 23 years, but I guess it was something in the retelling that, you know, made me emotional. I have several friends who talk to me about the three great loves, and their first love is also their forever love. So in conversations with these people, we discussed how even though it's only one person, you still really go through all three of those phases. It's your first love, it's your learning love, and it's your forever love. Over the course of a long marriage, you would obviously experience first love, and you would realize some things that maybe push your buttons or that you don't love about the person, or you think, gosh, is this going to break us up? This is really hard. But you persevere and you work through it, and then you have the ability to stand in your forever love with the pride of knowing that you made it all the way through. And that's not discounted by the fact that your first love was also your forever love. You know, those people that were boyfriend and girlfriend in high school, and then they got married, and they're still in these long marriages. Like, it's so, so admirable. But you know, they went through some stuff. I mean, they grew up together, so there had to be some points in their marriage that they were like, could you please stop doing that? That's not working for me, or whatever. And that's kind of your learning love, even though it's with the same person. So I just wanted to say, you know, you don't have to have three different people to have three experiences. So today's show is kind of a mishmash of things that have to do with wellness that I think I personally wanted to delve into, and hopefully some of my listeners will delve into them as well. There's a lot of buzzwords around the wellness culture, and one of the buzzwords that really grinds my gears, as my daughter likes to say, is the word accountability. Now, accountability on its own is obviously vital. If you're starting a wellness program or giving something up like alcohol or drugs or vaping or sugar or whatever it is, self-harm, porn, whatever it is, you're going to have to be accountable not only to yourself, but potentially to someone else. But I feel like accountability is being misused around the wellness field by putting accountability as the first part as job one. So it's not that I'm mad about accountability and the overuse of it. I just don't like the fact that it's labeled as the number one componentry of being on a wellness journey, because I beg to differ. I think the most important thing about starting a wellness journey is authenticity. You have to, and I've said this many times on the show, tell yourself the truth. You see people who have these New Year's resolutions, like, I'm going to go to the gym 3 days a week. I'm going to completely change my diet. I'm going to lower my alcohol intake. I'm going to start reading self-help books. I'm going to watch less TV. I'm going to be on social media less. I'm going to care about my family more. I'm going to spend more time with my loved ones. I'm going to make all of these changes, wholesale changes, in order to achieve a level of wellness that you felt was missing. And I don't think that's very authentic. First of all, it's impossible. In order to achieve wellness, it needs to be something that has tangible, measurable gains. I can talk about my own personal wellness journey and say that when I turned 60, it was a big deal. And I wanted to make some changes around my own wellness. And I had been toying with a few different things, and I kind of wanted to create an entire wellness plan or wellness lifestyle that incorporated some of the things that I thought were maybe working for me. But I also know myself, and I know that I could not set myself up for failure by making grandiose promises or investing in any kind of equipment or paying for private classes or buying an entire new workout wardrobe, because I wouldn't be able to keep that up. Not to say that there aren't people fully capable of this who wake up one day, join the gym, get a personal trainer, take all the food out of their house, and start over with only really healthy whole foods, healthy options. They start making their meals in advance, taking their lunch to work. They stop going out with the guys. They no longer do things that were contributing to their lack of wellness. Just cold turkey, quit everything. And there are people like that, and I stand in awe of them. And that's their authenticity. That's their accountability. That's their strength of character, their mental toughness. Bravo, I say, bravo. But most of us are not that. And wellness, in many categories of wellness, is a total freaking privilege. I want to really emphasize that. Wellness and the ability to get well and stay well and maintain wellness is a privilege. And that is some authentic shit. So be authentic. Tell yourself the truth. What are you really capable of? What are you really capable of sustaining? And what kind of support do you need to make these changes? And is everyone on board? Do your kids want to eat salad every night? Does your husband want to stop eating out on the weekends and socializing with his friends because you gave up alcohol? I don't know. I mean, it's different for everyone, but let's tell the truth and be authentic. Because then and only then can you work on accountability. And who do you want to be accountable to? Do you want to have an accountability coach? Do you want to say to your friend, hold me to this? Do you want to say to your sister, remind me when I'm falling off the wagon? Do you want that to be your husband or your mother, your children, your best friends? Who's going to be your accountability person? Or do you just want to be accountable to yourself, which is a slippery slope because it's kind of easy to tell yourself a lie, which is maybe why you're in the unwell situation you're in right now. I don't know. I mean, I'm not judging anyone, trust me. There are people who are actual accountability coaches. Some personal trainers will set up your life and they'll check in with you and they'll tell you, and you can tell them what you ate all day and you can tell them how you moved your body and you can tell them that you didn't drink, you didn't smoke, you didn't use drugs, you didn't watch porn or whatever it is. But you can lie to those people too. So first you're going to be authentic, then you're going to figure out how to be accountable. Personally, I'm only accountable to myself. If I lie to myself and don't follow through on the wellness practices that I've chosen, who's going to lose? I'm going to lose. And I don't want to be a loser. So I give myself permission to not be perfect. I allow some grace when I don't work out as hard as I did the day before. I let myself slip and eat some Fritos. But I don't give up on myself. I'm authentic. I'm going to tell the truth to me, for me, and I'm going to be accountable to me, for me. But the third finger of wellness is disappointment. Disappointment comes next. You're going to be disappointed, and I can tell you that. When I gave up alcohol, I started going to my trainer at the gym 2 days a week. I started doing Pilates at least once a week. Sometimes I'm lucky enough to get it in 2 times a week. I was walking with my friends once a week, sometimes 2 times a week, sometimes 3 times a week. When I go to Arizona, I like to jog in the hot tub because the water level is just perfect and the jets are exactly where they need to be for me to have some resistance while I jog in the hot tub. I swim laps when I can. I watch what I eat, but I didn't do it all the time. Sometimes I would go to the gym and just be so unmotivated. And thank goodness I have a trainer, because there's no way that I would show up at the gym if I didn't have Larry there waiting for me. I wouldn't even walk into the gym. So I try not to disappoint Larry because he's counting on me and that's his livelihood and he's really helping me. But when I'm away and traveling, I don't have Larry. So it's easy for me to slack. And that can be really disappointing. And I can find myself weighing myself too much or pinching too many inches and just being disappointed in myself and falling back into the old habits of self-loathing and body dysmorphia and negative self-talk, and it's not good. So how do we avoid the disappointments? Well, for me, I can say the way I stay away from disappointments is by doing my best. Doing my best on any given day. And my best is different on every day. If you get sick, maybe the best you can do is get your ass out of bed and walk into the kitchen and get a drink of water. Now, if you wear an Oura ring or an Apple Watch, you're not going to get good numbers. But the one thing I like about the Oura ring is that it allows you to say you don't feel well and you want to go into rest mode. So you're not constantly getting those messages like, time to stand up, time to move your body, your levels are low, which that doesn't help with the disappointment. That feeds the disappointment. There was a time in my life where I would never give myself any grace. I would succeed and fail in equal measure every day, and I rarely counted the successes. I would focus on the failures. And I would wake up the next day and say, hello, it's a new day. Don't forget, you were a failure yesterday, much more than you were a success, so try to fix this. And that kind of self-talk, those old tapes in your head, they would just be so negative, and I would fight against it because it doesn't help anyone. Wait a second. Do I need an accountability coach? Just kidding. So we've talked about accountability, we've talked about authenticity, and we've talked about disappointment. So here's the fourth part that I think is really important when you start a wellness journey, and the fourth part of the equation, and it's resolve. Now, resolve is not the same as commitment. When I made a commitment to my wellness, I did it for a few reasons, but the most important reason was because as an older mother, I wanted to make sure I was going to be able to be here for my girls. I wanted to be at their weddings and the birth of their babies so I could see my grandkids. And with rheumatoid arthritis and the degenerative nature of this disease and my lack of motivation around anything to do with exercise, I had to make a change. So I made a commitment to do all these things that I've been talking about that I'm doing. And every day I have an opportunity to not only recommit, but to stand in my steely resolve that I will not give up this journey until it's physically impossible for me to continue. And hopefully that's on my dying day. I don't know what motivates people to make changes to get well or to quit drinking or to start exercising, but I've heard that adults don't change until their behavior, whatever it is, becomes more painful than what it would take to stop it. So let's talk about that a little bit. Let's say that you have, I'm going to use a drinking problem as an example, and you've created a lifestyle to facilitate your drinking. And maybe your drinking has gotten to the point where it's not so much interfering with your life, but it's jabbing at your life in certain areas. Maybe your husband or your wife say, you really need to quit drinking. I wish you would quit drinking. I feel like you drink too much. This sounds like, to the person that's drinking, total nonsense, especially if you're a functional alcoholic where you're going to work and you're providing for your family and you're showing up at all the events and you're doing all the things. It's like, what are you talking about? My drinking's not a problem. So that's going to take you longer to get to the point where the jabs start to hurt. No adult can make any other adult do anything that that adult does not want to do. This is chapter 1 through 20 in the Let Them Theory. Adults only do things that adults want to do. So no one's going to quit for you. No one's going to start making changes because you want them to make changes. That only happens when the individual is feeling too much pain from the choices they're making and they decide to stop the pain. So let me take this back to myself. I wasn't necessarily in pain because I wasn't exercising, but I could see a future not too far down the road where my ability to walk next to my daughters, to participate fully in life with my daughters, was going to be jeopardized. The quality was not going to be there because my body was not going to be able to keep up. I have heard my entire life that you have to exercise, that you have to move more than you eat, that you need to build muscles, that every body is a better body if you move the body. And because it was painful for me to imagine a life of being left behind while my daughters potentially get married, have babies, that was not going to work for me. So that was my moment where I was like, it's time. I'm 60 years old. I've already had 40 plus years of this crippling disease. I've already had a stroke. I've already had 5 or 6 or 10 joint replacements. I've already taken some nasty falls. Like, get cracking. It's time. So I made the changes that I needed to make, but I'm no poster child for what the perfect wellness is all about because it was a process and it took time and it's been 2 years and I'm still making little tweaks and adjustments into what works for me. But I had a resolve deep inside of me that maybe has a little bit louder voice than those old tapes of you're a failure, you're out of shape, you're crippled, you're weak, you're not going to last very long, you're going to end up in a wheelchair. All the stuff that I told myself about what's going to happen to me and actually did happen to me, and I believed it. So let's go back to the very top. Let's be authentic. Let's tell ourselves the truth about what our personal wellness journey is going to look like. Don't overcommit. Decide who you're going to be accountable to. If that's you, then that's you. You only have to be accountable to yourself. That's like the rule of the universe. Self-accountability is really the only measurement that matters. You're going to get disappointed. You're going to disappoint yourself. Someone might say, wow, I thought you were better than that. And that's disappointing. Although, who is that person? Get them out of your life immediately. They're not positive. But you're going to get disappointed. You're going to get disappointed in your progress. You're going to get disappointed in how long it takes or how little change you see. But you will see incremental changes. And you can turn that disappointment into pride. And finally, you'll wake up one day and you will say, I made a commitment. I'm achieving the commitment. I'm staying true to my commitment. I'm resolved to continue to honor the body I'm in and the place I'm in my wellness. And that day is a proud day. I was showing my daughter the other day a muscle that I have in my arm, which is a big deal because I'm not strong. But I've been working on my strength for 2 years going to the gym, and I actually have some muscles, which is really cool. And I was thinking about today when I was getting ready to go to the gym, about I had this friend when I was younger, Carol Kissling. She was my best friend, and I'm going to go on record as saying she had the most beautiful legs, strong and suntanned and long. And she had that muscle, that muscle on the side of your leg where it goes like from your knee to like your hip. And it's like a defined muscle. I guess it's the quad muscle. I'm so tuned in with what the muscles are called. But anyways, I used to love riding bikes with her and I would just be like, oh my gosh, she's so lucky. That muscle, that defined muscle on the side of her leg. Well, this past summer in July, I was in Sicily and we were on this boat and someone took a picture of me and my husband, and you can literally see that muscle in the side of my leg. I don't know how. Maybe I was flexing. I really don't remember like what was going through my mind when the picture was taken, but I do have that muscle. And just the other day, I think it was Saturday, I said to my husband, feel this muscle in my leg. Like, it's so exciting. I mean, if you're muscular and you don't have rheumatoid arthritis and, you've always been just like lucky that way, you're so lucky. But for someone like me who has struggled, I mean, there were times in my life where I was strong And, you know, I've talked before about how I was a swimmer and, you know, I did all the step aerobics and all that stuff in the 80s. And there were times in my life where I was, you know, running and I felt strong, but I really don't think I ever had any defined muscles. So, you know, it's a proud moment for me. And that's kind of what I was talking about. It takes time. Like, you're not going to start going to the gym and then be like, I'm ripped. I mean, you might be if you're lucky or young. If you're young. Oh, wait, the record's skipping. No. Youth is a privilege reserved for the young. So anyways, but it does take time, but you will see results and they might be small, but, you know, you should really rejoice in them. So I have this little accountability, authenticity, disappointment, resolve conversation that I have with myself. And I usually have it every night. So I'm going to give you a little peeksy into what my nights look like. So after I brush my teeth and I put in my night guards, I put on my mouth tape, I put on my lymphatic drainage patch, and maybe put a little bit of castor oil in my belly button. I get into bed, I put on my compression gloves, which are so, so helpful for my hands. I adjust my pillows so that I don't wake up with a sore neck or back or shoulders. I put a pillow underneath my knees, and I put on my eye mask, and then I pray. I do about 200 crunches in the bed while I pray, and I thank myself for whatever it is I accomplished that day. I forgive myself if I didn't accomplish much. I acknowledge that I wasn't without judgment, because it's one of the downfalls of being a human, is we're very judgmental, and it's one of the hardest things to not do. So I acknowledge that, you know, I fell short, and I maybe was judgmental. I pray for my family. I pray for my friends. I pray for anyone that asks me to pray for them. And I thank myself. Literally, in my mind, I say the words, thank you, Danny, for what you did today for yourself. It's as corny as can be, and I've been doing it for a while, and it really works for me. I just think it's important to appreciate what it takes to stay committed to health and wellness. And as I said in the beginning, it's such a privilege, and I acknowledge that. I am privileged to be able to be a member of a gym, to be able to pay for Pilates classes, to have the privilege of friendships and people that want to take walks with me, and to be married to someone that supports my decision to give up alcohol, and to have children and a husband who strive to eat healthy and aren't like, oh great, here we go again with some weird food that mom wants to eat that nobody else wants to eat. Like, we're in it together. And I know that that's not the same for everyone else. And I just want to acknowledge that I do know that. So that's pretty much what I wanted to talk about, my four-pronged wellness equation: authenticity, accountability, disappointment, and resolve. Now, March is such a weird month. First of all, it comes right after February, which is our short month, and a lot of things go crazy in February because there's just not enough time. It's like, oh my gosh, February's over, and now we're in March. And March is a long month. It's, you know, 31 days. I have so many birthdays in March. There's also Mardi Gras is in March. We had Ash Wednesday. Some people got their ashes yesterday and they chose what they're giving up for Lent. So we got the 40 days of Lent. So I want to say happy birthday to Rachel from Stockholm Construction. Her birthday was yesterday. Yesterday was also my sister Shaney's T1D anniversary, which I messaged her and I said, are we really celebrating that? You know, celebrating the fact that you've had type 1 diabetes for 43 years? Like, I mean, I guess we're celebrating it because essentially you've been without you know, any terrible symptoms, not symptoms, but any terrible repercussions from that. And you're still here. And that's amazing. And if someone got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes today, there's so many more advancements in that field that it's a completely different experience than what she had, you know, when she was, well, let me do the math, 12 years old, I think 12. So congratulations to Shaney. Happy birthday to Rachel. We're going to a wedding in Arizona this weekend. My family is, for Savannah and Tommy. They're getting married on Saturday. So congratulations to them. Gianna Noonan has a birthday on the 13th of this month. My friend Kathy has a birthday on the 16th. My friend Susan's daughter Natalie has a birthday on the 14th, which is Pi Day, which I think that's Steph Curry's birthday too. Oh gosh, if I'm wrong, my daughter's going to be like, Mom, that's so disappointing. I think his birthday is on Pi Day. Maybe it's on the 15th. Oh, I'm so stressed. Anyway, she'll tell me for sure. But we're going to this wedding this weekend. We're leaving tomorrow. And it's in Arizona, so you're thinking, oh gosh, it's going to be hot. It's not. It's literally going to be the coldest day in Phoenix, in the history of cold days in Phoenix. So I got two dresses from Rent the Runway, and I tried them on today. And one of them, the one I like really kind of the most, is way too long. So that's a tripping hazard. So that one's out, even though it's long-sleeved, and I think it would be really appropriate for the wedding. So I'm going to wear the other one, which on a taller person, it would be like a T-length dress, I guess. On me, it's ankle length, maybe a little bit longer. It is long-sleeved, but it's a little more form-fitting, which really isn't my vibe. But, you know, I'll post pictures so you guys can see and everyone can vote on how amazing they think the dress is. Today, the music I wanted to play today, I chose four songs, and they're songs that, like, really talk to me, speak to me, and they're old, because I'm old, except for one song is popular, but we'll talk. That's the third song I'm going to sing. So the first song I'm going to sing is... I'm not singing. What is wrong with me? The first song I'm going to play is by Savage Garden. The song called Truly, Madly, Deeply. And it's just, oh, such a vibe. So I'm going to cue that up. This is Savage Garden, Truly, Madly, Deeply. Don't leave yet because I haven't queued it up. Let me find it in my playlist. I created this entire playlist. It's called Level Up with Danny Playlist. But the problem is that I'm constantly adding music to this playlist, and it is so long. It's like 9 hours of music, which is complete and total nonsense. Okay, stand by. Here we go. Truly, Madly, Deeply, Savage Garden.
Stand with you.
oldie but a goodie. I don't know. I always liked that song. I'm going to do a little PSA. The Sonoma County Bluegrass and Folk Festival is just around the corner. The Sebastopol Community Cultural Center at 390 Morris Street will host, once again, kicking things off on International Women's Day, which is Saturday, March 8th. Ooh, I love that. There will be workshops, open jamming. Bring your instrument and join in, rain or shine. Live performances include Lori Lewis and Kathy Kallick, the Lonesome Ace String Band, Manning Music Youth Bands, the Broken Compass Bluegrass, Late for the Train, Salty Sally, and Mission Blue. This festival is brought to you by the California Bluegrass Association with help from the Sonoma County Folk Society and the Sebastopol Kiwanis Club. You can drop by SonomaBluegrassFolk.com for tickets and more information. So that's March 8th, Saturday, which is also International Women's Day. So in love with that. Okay, our next song is going to be The Flame by Cheap Trick. So the very first rock concert I ever went to, this is not counting Barry Manilow, which was the first concert I ever went to, rock concert, was Bachman Turner Overdrive and Cheap Trick in Tucson, Arizona. This was in 1979, I think. And this is back when there was festival seating. And what that means is they would open the doors and you would just run in and try to get up front. And it was super scary, but I love Cheap Trick, and I played this song, The Flame, on my cross-country journey from Tucson to New York City because I had a broken heart. So I was, crying and playing this song, The Flame by Cheap Trick. So let me cue that up, The Flame. I just added it, so it's the last one in my playlist. Okay, get ready. Here we go.
Another night slowly closes in, and I feel so lonely. Touching heat, freezing on my skin. I pretend you still hold me. I'm going crazy, I'm losing sleep. I'm empty, vibing way too deep over you. I can't believe you're gone. You were the first, you'll be the last. Wherever you go, I'll be with you. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you.
Thank you.
okay. I had to cut that one short. Because he wasn't the first. He wasn't the last. He was the second one. He was the learning one. He was... Yeah, he didn't deserve all that drama from me. Okay, let's do a little underwriter. We've got North Coast Solar today. KOWS Radio thanks the folks at North Coast Solar for their ongoing support. North Coast Solar has been supplying residential and commercial businesses with solar power since 1984. Their website, ncsr.com, contains information about how to improve energy reliability when customers run low on energy. They can be reached at 707-575-3999. North Coast Solar is a proud sponsor of Uncle Charlie's Jukebox, which is on KOWS every Wednesday at 4 o'clock Pacific. So the next song is not a new song. It's called Ends of the Earth by Ty Myers. It's number one on country music charts right now, and I take full credit for introducing my audience to this song weeks ago. Not Eileen Davis, however. She already knew it, and she loved it. I used to have this thing with my daughter Grace. Every time she got in the car, we would hear the same song. I forget what it's called right now, but it was by Zach Top. But now, every time we get in the car, it's Ends of the Earth by Ty Myers, and we just sing it at the top of our lungs. So I love this song. I'm going to play it right now because it's a good one. And that's my vibe right now. Okay, Ends of the Earth by Ty Myers. Here we go.
From the silence of the speakers to the blow in your hair, to the sweet smell of perfume that's hovering in the air, faintest of moonlight peeking through the blinds, to the feeling of new love that's yet to be tried. But I'm getting pretty tired, these little games you play, where we get so damn close, but you up and walk away. To the ends of the earth I'll follow you, where the horizon meets the sunrise.
Rising me.
till the end of the earth.
Isn't that such a cool song? It really is. So I only have 15 minutes left. I actually wanted to do a reading from my book, Be Here Now. And I also have another song to play, but in researching the song, I couldn't find it to put it on my playlist, so I have to play it from YouTube, which is so weird. But I made a few notes this morning about something that I wanted to talk about without turning too many people off, but I just felt like it was on my heart, so I wanted to say it. So I don't know if you still know, but I'm on a national news break. I do get the daily newspaper delivered to my home, so I see the headlines, but I'm just in it for the local sports, my horoscope, and the comics. We're living in such a weird time. The divisive language that is covering us is so damaging. I'm wondering how we can root for everyone's success and still protect our own. At the end of the day, we are living. No, we're not living. We're having to choose the divide. Okay, start over. At the end of the day, we're having to choose. The divide makes us more suspicious and hateful, and maybe that's the point. If we burn it all down, how will it be rebuilt? Do any of us truly believe that destruction is the only way to rebirth? I do not know. I know we are in trouble as a nation. I think everyone knows this. Ask yourself what you are willing to sacrifice to see a new, equitable order. If you don't know your answer, then you'll let someone else define it for you. I know that I personally will not sacrifice my morals. I won't agree to my own gain on the backs of the lesser. Less access, less agency, less opportunity. This is reality. It's not woke, it's not liberal, it's fact. Acknowledging this disparity is paramount to any systematic change. How does saying racism, sexism, hatred, discrimination, how is saying those things are real make you angry? Why is it such a dividing line for so many? Saying it is so does not hurt. Saying it isn't real does cause harm. I don't want all policies to be couched in DEI, but I don't want the opposite either. I live my life, profess my beliefs, and stand politically firmly in the middle. If the extremes move towards the center, maybe America has a chance to be great. Not great again, but for the very first time ever. I mean, those are my true feelings. And I know that the heart of most people is a gracious heart. And I just feel like the climate that we're operating in right now is not allowing for that. It's making people pick sides, and that both sides are very extreme. It's making people choose to put themselves in a category of other, either more privileged or less privileged, either the 1% or the rest, either white or not. And it's really hard. I just can't imagine having little kids in today's day and age. I think it would be so difficult to filter information and talk to little kids about all this hatred and all this division. And I'm so thankful that my girls are old enough to read and listen and watch and make their own decisions about the world that we're living in. But the more I don't allow major market media to enter my consciousness, whether it's on social media or watching the news or reading the headlines, the better I feel about moving through my life. I know where my heart is. I know where my beliefs are. And I know that some of the hatred and anger and let's burn it down, let's do away with everything, let's start over, is just a distraction. It's a way to focus us on things that aren't real so that maybe we miss what is real. And I just want to caution all of us to try to keep a balance. Try to stay in the middle. Try to keep your self-centered so that you don't fall victim to the extremes. Because just because it's the loudest voice doesn't mean it's the best voice. I actually have 10 minutes. I'm so proud of myself. So I'm going to read a reading from Be Here Now. Here's the thing about this book. I haven't read it for the last few weeks. So when I was preparing today's show, I was like, I'm just going to randomly open a page and see what comes up. And I opened page 143. And the title is Go Your Own Way, which I think is really cool based on what I talked about today. So I'm going to have to put my glasses on because this writing is small. But I'm going to do a reading since I have time. Go your own way. It is time that we steered by the stars, not by the lights of each passing ship, stated U.S. Military General Omar Bradley. When we realize that being ourselves brings us the greatest peace and joy imaginable, and that trying to be anyone other than ourselves causes us a whole range of terribly uncomfortable and dissatisfying experiences, we find infinite courage and inspiration to chart our very own course. Going our own way is best done in peace, joy, and integrity, rather than carried out as an act of rebellion. Even if going our own way involves stepping out from the crowd, surprising and disappointing others, or subverting preconceived ideas or plans, we are best to go about our own courses in calm, self-assured, respectful ways. Going our own way means that we accept ourselves, liberate ourselves to live our dreams, express our individuality, and make conscious choices in support of our learning, growing, and flourishing in this life. Our lives are not performances, but nor are they dress rehearsals. No one else can learn our lessons or write our stories for us. We must travel our own paths and co-create our own realities in harmony with what we ultimately find to be the over-supportive energy of life. What we see and believe for ourselves, we become. What we envision for our lives, we experience. We are not limited by our past, by others' behaviors, or by others' opinions or expectations of us. Our lives are determined by the personal energy we bring to them. May we go our own ways, taking responsibility for cultivating positivity and making sincere effort and living life in gratitude. I mean, there are no accidents. And the fact that that was the page I turned to and that was the reading, well, divine intervention, I tell you. I wanted to say good luck and congratulations to the Cardinal Newman High School boys and girls soccer team. The boys are playing in the NorCal semifinals today at 5 o'clock against Turlock High School in Turlock. The girls are also playing in the semis. I'm remiss to say that I do not know who they're playing, but this is a Cinderella squad who was seated in the 15th seed, and they battled all the way, won the NCS, and got a NorCal bid. So we're proud of those girls and proud of the boys. Go soccer teams. Okay, I'm going to try to find the last song that I wanted to sing, which is from the movie about last night, the original one with Demi Moore and Rob Lowe. The song is called Living Inside My Heart. It's by Bob Seger. And you just can't find it anywhere. I mean, he clearly recorded the song for the movie, and I tried to find it on the soundtrack. It was just, it was a lot of trouble for me. So let's see if I can find this song. I know it's on YouTube. And then let's see if I can play it. Okay, here we go. I think this is it. So let's do it. Ready and begin.
Sun came up this morning, and she smiled her smile for me. I felt it for the first time. Something deep inside of me. So you can take your midnight rambling, boy. You can keep your winding roads. She's living inside my heart now. Living inside. Oh, there's an easiness about her. There's a softness in her way. But she gets me through the hard times. We get closer every day. I know I'll never be alone now, boy. 'Cause even if I'm far away, she's living inside my heart now. Living inside.
Gosh, I love that song so much. Okay, I'll be back on March 20th. I have an in-studio guest. It's going to be a heavy topic. We're going to talk about mental health and death by suicide. Until then, let's take care of each other. Love you guys.